At this moment in time, I'm busier than ever.
So join me, Jamie Cullum, for Piano Pilgrimage on Saturday morning at 10:30.
Time now on Radio 4 for our Book of the Week. On the South Sea island of Tanna, the author, Matthew Baylis, is determined to find out the origins of the cult that worships Prince Philip. With Chief Jack's blessing, he's anxious to visit the island's other communities to see if they have heard of the Philip myths that anthropologists have gathered. But these visits seem tricky to arrange and frequently postponed. Today, his guide, Nako, and the rest of Chief Jack's village are invited to a celebration with some neighbours. Philip Franks reads the next extract from Man Belong, Mrs. Queen.
The chief bade me join him, and as I did so, he gave a theatrical shiver to underline the point that it was cold. It was always cold on Tanna, and the men were always complaining about it. English weather, the chief said. I brought it with me, I joked. You know how to do that? Tanna was not the place where you could make quips like this. No, I just meant, Tanna has the same weather as your country, because the two islands were joined together, the chief countered. Everyone knows this. The half-dozen men around us signalled their agreement. Some people say Tanna was joined to Africa. That's why there are black men there. That's why we call Africa Half-rica, you see, because it is only half of a place. But here, in Yohnanan, we know Tanna was joined to your country. That's why the weather's so bad. That's why we try to bring them together. I sensed some central membrane of Tani's thought taking shape here. I remembered what Siaka had said on that first night about every man Tanna having a doppelganger somewhere else. Bring them together. You mean you can make them join up again? The chief assumed a patient tone with me. No, it cannot be done. We just walk slowly and we build roads. Walk slowly and build roads? You'll see. The Hebrides. Tell me, you have some islands called the Hebrides, don't you? Yes, they're off the coast of Scotland. And the main town of Scotland is? Edinburgh. And the old name for this place here? The chief shot back. The name your people gave it? New Hebrides. The chief sat back, folding his arms with a smile. And another name for Prince Philip is? The Duke of O. My open-mouthed expression caused a ripple of laughter. The chief nodded graciously, like some withered Zen master of the mountaintops. You'd better write it down, he added. White men are bad at remembering things. Our hosts appeared and led us by the hands up a short hill to their village, which lay on a slope in the sunlight. There, they once again encircled us and performed a chant, slapping their bare feet on the earth so hard that the bushes shook in time. A short, large-headed man in a Chelsea football shirt approached. He was the owner of two staring eyes and one lonely dreadlock coiling from the crown of his head. We all love you, he said to me. Please come with me. He led the chief, Nako, and me to a throne inside a reed booth. Seated inside this regal cupboard, we were given garlands of flowers, and then wave upon wave of smiling children loaded our laps with coconuts and cooked yams, mandarins, and peanuts. It is your seat, said the large-headed man, adding that his name was Jimmy Yasu. Grass-skirted whirlers corkscrewed about in the background. Dancing is very good, observed the chief. Will the dancing make Prince Philip come back? The chief blinked in alarm. This? He traded looks with Yasu. This is nothing to do with Philip. This is to do with them. I gazed in confusion at the scene before me. The seated revival meeting, the ladies' whirling circle, and now, it seemed, elsewhere in the arena, an outbreak of free-form devotional jitterbug. So who are they? We are unity, replied Yasu. Ah, unity! He bellowed, just in case I hadn't caught it. The entire village responded with a roar. Unity! We follow Prophet Fred, Jimmy added. I'd heard about Prophet Fred and his mission of providing Tana with a custom-oriented Christianity, keeping the dancing, replacing the magic with prayer, and the cargo dreams with Bible-based images of a land of plenty.
You are the man from London. Do you know Scarborough? That is a place in London. I know about it. These people do not, though. They are very dirty and stupid people.
My interlocutor was a furtive, full-bearded individual in a houndstooth bomber jacket. He had slipped, without invitation, onto the seat next to me, exuding a powerful scent of diesel.
I am a missionary,
he announced, flecking the outer edges of my ear with spittle. Before I could answer, he went on.
Do you need the toilet? They don't have one here. These people are very dirty. I am teaching them how to be clean, but it is difficult because they are not intelligent. Do you know, when I first came here, they tried to kill me.
I tried to go for a walk around the place, but the diesel-scented man of God attached himself to me. He told me I was a big fella witness, and I had power belong Jesus Christ. I walked back down to the Nakamal, along with the rest of the men, and took my place upon a large log at the front. With a cheesy smile, the missionary now crept to join me there. Chief Jack rose to his feet and gave a generous oration, pointing first to the village, then to Nako, and then to me. Nako stood after that and was received with a rustle of applause.
Do you understand?
The missionary hissed.
I can speak Nauval.
Rather sheepishly, I admitted that I'd appreciate some help.
The chief says that everything before is forgotten. He has made Nako the voice of the canoe.
Voice of the canoe was a venerable title, equivalent to press officer for the village. It was a vivid demonstration of the chief's faith in Nako, and seemed, from the gestures he had made, to be connected to me. But what had he meant about the past being forgotten? The missionary said he didn't know. It was time for Nako to make his maiden speech, a shorter affair than his father's, but including, I noticed, lavish reference to Prince Philip. The missionary had no time to interpret, because our newly appointed voice of the canoe then summoned me, with just a touch of swagger, into the ring to read from the myths. I opened my bag, and promptly discovered the myths had gone. With a gleeful flourish, Nako suddenly produced an off-white baton from his trouser pocket. He declared, with an air of the detective assembling key suspects in the drawing room.
And you did say that you had them, but you did not have them.
He now unfurled his baton and revealed it to be my paperwork. I sensed he was hoping for a gasp from the crowd.
You are not taking careful of them, he continued, but they are very important to my father, so,
he held a finger aloft,
from now on, I will carry the stories with me, and when the people say, read us the stories, you will say, Nako, give me the stories, and I will say, yes, and I will give the stories to you, and you will read from the stories, and then you will give them back to me, and...
Nako, that's a good idea, I interrupted. Could I, have them now? I stood up and read the one about the man who'd heard Philip and the Queen talking on board the Royal Yacht Britannia. I sat down, to a ripple of applause, and then I asked if anyone had heard the story before.
Yes, said Chief Jack helpfully. You read it out the other day.
If the man was sitting on Black Sands Beach, the missionary offered, then he was probably from Imabel. That's the nearest village.
The group nodded and slapped the ground. The chief, whose woolly halo and smoke-wreathed countenance lent him the look of some key player in the Greek myths, rose again and pointed at me.
You must go to Imabel and speak to the men there,
he decreed.
It must be one of them who spoke this story. I want to hear his voice.
So do I, Nako added hastily. I am Chief Belong Tok Tok. I order you to Imabel.
A small boy came belting along the main footpath into the Nakamal. I recognized him as belonging to our village. Agitated, breathless, and, so it seemed, drenched from head to foot, he addressed himself to the chief. Most of the men shot to their feet angry and shouting, and departed in the direction of Jochnanan, among them Nako and Kal. The chief himself rose painfully and padded towards the exit, muttering all the while, and pausing just for a moment to cast an enigmatic look in my direction.
"It's a flood,"
Yasu said.
"But it hasn't been raining."
"No. In Jochnanan they have a water tap. Somebody left it running, and all the gardens have been destroyed."
The meeting ruptured, and I was left alone in the place, with the wood smoke and spit and the breeze in the trees. Somebody left it running. I'd been the last man to use the tap. That morning I'd swiveled it this way and that, trying to get water out in order to wash, then left it. On or off? I hadn't bothered to check. The careless, clumsy act of a man too selfish to think of a tap's importance in this place. Full of dread, I took the bush path back to the village. It would be wise, I knew, to make reparations, but what could I offer? "Here," I imagined myself saying to the fuming face of Kal, "have this half-finished packet of Murray mints. I hope that makes up for the total destruction of your livelihood."
"Well, well," a voice exclaimed. "The Englishman."
I glanced up from my misery and saw a smooth, handsome individual smoking a corncob pipe by the brook. He bade me sit with him, and so, in no hurry to return to the village, I agreed. He told me in flawless English that his name was Lomacom, and he'd been one of the boys at the original Custom School. He'd become a teacher in Port Vila, but recently resigned. "So what do you do now?"
"Gardening," he said brightly.
"Did you enjoy the dancing?"
"Yes, I did."
He tilted his head coquettishly.
"But you didn't come here to see Christians."
I replied carefully that this was true, but that I wasn't sure what I'd seen today was very Christian either.
"Oh, yes, it is, Matthew," he said.
I hadn't told him my name, so his use of it was a challenge.
"Unity is just a way of bringing the custom people into Christianity. Did you meet the missionary? Did you think him a very stupid man?"
He didn't give me a chance to respond before adding, "He is not. He is hanging on, even though they burnt his church, because he knows one day they will all be Christians and he can say it was his work. A jolly clever chap." I'd begun not to enjoy my chat with Lomacom. What I'd thought was natural courtesy turned out to be a mocking parody of my own manners. His smile was thin, and his eyes glinted like a pawnbroker's tooth. I stood up.
"Why are you going to Jochnanan?"
Lomacom purred.
"There is nothing for you there, or anywhere on Tanna."
"What do you mean?" Lomacom smiled.
"Nobody knows anything about Prince Philip. It's dead."
"But the chief knows."
"The chief?"
"Ha." His voice dropped to a seductive murmur.
"Everyone is joining the Unity Group. That's why Nako came here today. Not to show you about Prince Philip. To see the Unity people. Because his father is old, and even if Nako is stupid, he knows where the future is."
A chill settled upon my shoulders. "So why does everyone tell me they still believe?"
"They are lying,"
he said, rising to stand with me. He put a light hand on my shoulder.
"You came for nothing, Matthew. Nothing at all."
Philip Franks was reading from Man Belong, Mrs. Queen by Matthew Baylis. It was abridged and produced by Jill Waters and is a Waters Company production for BBC Radio 4. Now here's Sailing By to take us to the shipping forecast.
Thank you.
Now on BBC Radio 4, it's time for the shipping forecast issued by the Met Office on behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency at 0015 on Thursday, the 2nd of January. There are warnings of gales in all areas except Forth, Tyne and Trafalgar. The general synopsis at 1800. Low Malin 968, expected southeast Iceland 962 by 1800 Thursday. Deepening low, moving rapidly northeastwards, expected just west of Shannon 948 by same time. The area forecasts for the next 24 hours. Viking, north at Sarah, south at Sarah. Southeasterly gale 8 to storm 10, veering southerly 5 to 7 later. Rain, showers later, moderate or poor. Forties, southeasterly 6 to gale 8, occasionally severe gale 9 in northeast, veering southwesterly 5 to 7. Rain, then showers, moderate or poor, becoming good. Cromarty, Forth, Tyne. Southeast, veering southwest 5 to 7, occasionally gale 8 at first in Cromarty. Rain, then showers. Good, occasionally poor. Dogger, Fisher, German Bight, Humber, Thames, Dover. Southeast 6 to gale 8, occasionally severe gale 9 at first, veering southwest 5 to 7. Rain, then showers. Good, occasionally poor. White, Portland, Plymouth. Southwest 5 to 7, backing south 6 to gale 8 later, rain or squally showers. Good, occasionally poor. Biscay, southwest 6 to gale 8, showers, rain later. Good, occasionally poor. Trafalgar, southwest 5 to 7, rain or showers. Good, occasionally poor. Fitzroy, Seoul, southwesterly 6 to gale 8, increasing severe gale 9 or storm 10 later in far northwest Fitzroy and west Seoul. Squally showers, good, occasionally.